Reading from the Jiva Dharma, Chapter 22, Pramaya, the commencement of Prayojana. Om Jnana Timurandasya Kananjana Shalakaya Saksur Unlitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Pancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Sri Vrindavan Dham. Just really wonderful here. And by Krishna's grace, I have a new place. It's actually the only place I was ever got it. It was renting or staying at friends' places. And it's really nice to just host all the people. Let me just get one document I want to... Just give me one more minute to get my place. Okay. I'm good. Okay. So we're already up to the 22nd chapter in Jiva Dharma. This wonderful novel by Bhaktivinoda Thakur that describes people coming to Krishna consciousness, the generation after Lord Chaitanya. And as they come, and the varieties of people that are come, it's a literary technique that Bhaktivinoda Thakur used to delineate systematically the whole process of Krishna consciousness. Because as people come, and who comes to Krishna consciousness, and at what level they are, and they require different instructions. So in the course of these people coming to Krishna consciousness, Bhaktivinoda Thakur delineates all the tattvas, or subjects of Krishna consciousness. And we're on a particular thread in the discussion of following not just someone that's coming to Krishna consciousness, but someone who is advancing under the shelter of a guru, and the progression of subjects that that person has to learn to fully understand deeply the whole gamut of Krishna conscious philosophy. So it's being done through Raghunath Das Babaji, who's teaching his two disciples, Vrajanath and Vijay Kumar, a sutra called Dashamula, with intent statements, covers the full gamut, the full scope of Krishna consciousness. And right now, he's teaching them the last subject of Krishna consciousness, which is called Prayojana Tattva. Prayojana means the goal. So every philosophical system has a metaphysics, a description of reality called Sambandhagyan. It has a means of realizing that reality, which is called Abhidhayagyan. And it has a description of the goal or the result of realizing reality. So in bhakti, the sambandha, the metaphysics, is that is God and God's various energies and their interchange. That's what reality is. The means of realizing it is bhakti, sadhana bhakti, which has two divisions, vairi bhakti, where the inspiration for your endeavor is your understanding, and raganuga bhakti, where the inspiration for your practice is your heart, your spontaneous feelings. And we had just discussed the details of that subject. Now, the next dasamula was about the prayojana. What is the goal? And the goal is the experience of reality, which in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is prema, or love of Godhead. When you realize the truth, you feel the truth. And that feeling of the truth is your natural relationship with the truth, which is called love or prema. Just like a young baby and the mother, they have a relationship. And when the child is aware of the mother, then he feels the mother, and feels the mother's love, and feels love for the mother. So when we become enlightened, when we become free from illusion, and we actually see God, and see God everywhere, in everything, then we will feel God, and that's called prema. It's the piyojana. Prema is love of Godhead. And that piyojana, or prema, it actually has two basic divisions. One is called bhava, and one is called prema. Bhava is prema, or love in its budding state. It's called prema ankur. Ankur means a sprout. And the full blossoming of that is called prema. So bhava is prema. And the difference sometimes is described as the difference between the sun and the sun rays. They're the same thing, but one has density. So prema has density. Sandrandana visheshatma, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu describes it. Sandrandana visheshatma. It's very, very thick. There's nothing else in the consciousness. Sandra means like metal. You can't even put a pin through metal. There's no laxity in it. There's no space in it. So that's the goal, where your feelings for God are so intense that that is the only thing in your consciousness. That's the goal. And feeling that and becoming overwhelmed with that. And that's also called rasa. And bhava is called rati. Rati is these devotional feelings, and when they're heightened to a consummate or overwhelming degree, then that's called prema bhakti. Prema pumartha mahan. Mahan means the great, artha means value. The greatest value is prema, or love of Godhead. So, now we're going to continue that discussion, and Vrajanath is asking his guru, how many types of bhava are there? Babaji, there are two types of bhava arising from two different causes. The first bhava that has arisen as a result of ardent spiritual practice, sadhana abhinivesh jabhava. Jabhava. Ja means born. It's born of the practice, abhinivesh, of the intense practice, spiritual practice. So when you practice and you purify your heart, the voice in your heart that you want God becomes exclusive. There's no other voice in your heart. And when that happens, when you rise to that level of practice of wanting God and wanting the service of God so intensely that that voice becomes the consuming voice in your heart, and your practice and your chanting is your heart. God hears your heart within your chanting of the holy name. He hears your intense desire to serve him within the holy name. And at that point, he may give you bhava by your ardent spiritual practice. And the second is bhava that has arisen due to Krishna's mercy or the mercy of Krishna's bhakti, prasada jabhava, jab, born bhava from mercy. Bhava that arises from practice of sadhana is most commonly observed. Bhava arising from special mercy is very, very rare. Prabhupada sometimes describes it as an honorary degree. Without going to school, someone gets an honorary degree, but you don't expect it. Most people go to college. They don't wait around for an honorary degree. So those who are serious about Krishna consciousness, they practice. They practice offering their heart to Krishna. And that's what kirtan is. Kirtan is taking what's in your heart and offering it to God. Vrajanath, what is bhava arising from practice? Sadhana abhinaveshya bhava. There are two kinds of bhava arising from practice, one on the Vaidhi Marg and the other on the Raghaduga Marg. So we described in practice, the way you practice and the level of your practice will be determined by what type of faith that you have. And one faith is called Lobha Mayi Shraddha. Somehow or other, by your practice, you may be inspired to worship Krishna. Not only worship Krishna, but inspired to have the love of one of the devotees who worships Krishna. So when you practice with that type of aspiration, and you have that feeling and desire for that type of app, that's one type of sadhana. It's not sadhya, it's not the goal yet, but it's a practice generally happening at a high at an advanced level. But it's a desire to follow the residents of Vrindavan. Raga Anuga, that you follow the rag, the mood of exclusive and intense intimate love that is found in the residents of Vrindavan. And the other, and one on Vaidhi Bhakti. And Vaidhi Bhakti is also a type of faith. It's a faith, ultimately it's a faith in wanting to have the love of those who worship God in majesty and opulence, generally Narayan or Vishnu. It's a type of faith. And when you have that type of faith, the impetus for your practice will be particular rules, because even as you're developing your love and your attraction for God, because you're dealing with God in majesty, then you want, there's a certain protocol in dealing with a superior. Even though there's love, and there's love, but your impetus for what you do will be the protocol and the rules of how to deal with God. And that type of practice, with that type of focus of wanting to do right in relationship to God, and following different practices, that can go all the way up to bhava. That can go all the way up to bhava. Even though ruchi and different love is developing, the impetus will still be the Shastric rules. Ruchi appears first before Bhava, and it is followed by attachment, asakti, to Krishna, and finally Rati. I consider Bhava and Rati to be the same, because this is the opinion of the Puranas and the Shastras concerning the performance of dramatic arts, not the Shastra. So what they're saying is that Rati is a synonym for Bhava. Rati and Bhava is cinnamon. Synonym. In the case of Bhava arising from Vaidhi Sadhana, Shraddha comes first and then gives rise to Nishtha, which in turn develops into Ruchi. However, in the cause of Bhava arising from Raghunuga Sadhana, Ruchi is produced immediately. So basically it's saying that the platform of Rag, Ruchi is immediately developed. Once you get that attachment, that I want to serve Krishna as the residents of Vrindavan serve Krishna, then when you have that feeling, when that feeling comes into your heart, then you're already at Ruchi. Vrajanath, what is Bhava arising from the mercy of Krishna of his bhakta? From the mercy of Krishna or his bhakta, the Sajya Bhava. Babaji, Bhava arising from the mercy of Krishna or his bhakta, Prasadaja Bhava, is Bhava that occurs spontaneously without the performance of any kind of sadhana. So somehow or other, Krishna is merciful, and mercy means undeserved kindness. So somehow or other, without practice, an open-hearted person can somehow or other, without going through the different steps of practice, become inspired in such a way that his heart and desire comes to the level of Bhava. I remember we were discussing Bhava before. Where the heart melts and one develops different desires to serve Krishna. He says, please explain this further. Babaji, Krishna's mercy is bestowed in three ways. So this is the three ways that it can happen. One is vachika, by words. One by alokadana, by granting vision, by seeing. And one is harda, by grace manifest in the heart. By words are very, very, very powerful. We have to be very, very careful with words. Words can kill, actually. And words can alive. And we're just reading yesterday. I give class every day at 4 o'clock. And I'm here in Vrindavan in my room. We're doing the 10th canto. And we're reading about Akura. And a nice expression is the festival of aspiration. He has aspiration. He's going to see Krishna in Vrindavan. And his aspiration is progressing more and more. His aspiration is to have more and more an intimate relationship with Krishna. And finally, he says, and then I hope when I come, Krishna will call my name. And that's a very, very, everyone wants that. Everyone wants the verbal recognition by those whom people love. And that's there in the spiritual feelings. We want the verbal recognition of Krishna. We want Krishna to call our names. I was reading this and I was so enlivened about it, about this aspiration, what Kura is saying, he'll be greeted when he sees Krishna. And Krishna said, oh, Akura. At noon every day, I go to the temple, I take darshan of the deities, and I was looking at Gaur Nitai. And I realized, yeah, that's my prayer. I want the deities to say, you know, I want a relationship with Krishna. A relationship means when you go before God, God knows you and God loves you. I want that. I want to go before Radha Burli Dar and them to say, oh, Maharaj, Hare Krishna, welcome. I want to go before Radha Govinda, Radha Shamsund in Vrindavan. And for them to say, oh, Maharaj, Hare Krishna, welcome. So those words coming from a devotee or Krishna can very much inspire in the heart a swell of love up to the perfectional stage. Suppose that Krishna bestows his mercy upon some Brahmin by saying, O best of the twice-born, may supremely auspicious, blissful, and uninterrupted bhakti arise within you, then simply by such words, vachika prasadja bhava arises in the heart. Mercy born by the words. The rishis residing in the forest had never previously seen Krishna, but when they attained his darshan, bhava arose within their hearts. Such as those are the sages of Dandakaranya. So when they saw Krishna, this is an example of bhava arising to Krishna granting his vision. Bhava that arises within the heart due to the mercy is called Harta Bhava. This is observed in the history and life history of Sukadeva Goswami and other bhaktas. When Sri Krishna descended as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were many instances of these three kinds of bhava arising from his mercy. One cannot count the number of people who were filled with bhava when they saw Sriman Mahaprabhu. Jagai and Madhai are examples of those who attained bhava because of the Lord's words, and Jiva Goswami attained bhava from his heart, within his heart, Harta Bhava by Sri Gauranga's mercy. Actually, blessings are so important. We make a lot of advancement by blessings. You have to get the blessings of a Vaishnava. You may serve a Vaishnava, and a Vaishnava may be pleased, and you may get blessings, and those blessings can give you so much in your spiritual life. We're at the temple here, and this is the most incredible temple. It's just so, there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people in this community that are fixed, that are Vaishnavas, that are fixed in Krishna consciousness. And it's all centered around the temple, which is one of the best organized temples in the world. Organized in that the mood is so inclusive and welcoming of everyone, but yet there are reasonable parameters of decency and protection, whatever it is. But so there was the function of this great saint, my godbrother, Vibhu Chaitanya, who was a self-effulgent person in the sense that he was recognized by everyone. He was very, very humble, very, very serious, and everyone recognized the level of his bhakti. He was the cook, he was handing out charanamrita, and then we saw how he was leaving his body. Everyone recognized. And I just thought, you know, maybe I'm still here in Vrindavan because of his blessings. Maybe, you know, sometimes he would knock on different people's doors and he would give you some of the prasad, because he would cook everything. He would cook from 10 in the morning to 2 at night. Prabhupada said he didn't have to chant our beads. He was just chanting all day. And he would cook every offering by himself. And he would get the Mahaprasad, and then he would, somebody with a little bag and a knock at your door, you can never tell, once a month, every 2 weeks, which devotee would get that mercy. But you really feel that it's his blessing. Otherwise, there's no hope of attaining Krishna by our practice, actually. There always has to be mercy. Our practice can attract mercy, but we can never earn Krishna. Krishna is far more valuable than whatever we can pay. There has to be blessings. We should all seek the blessings of devotees. There's so many wonderful devotees. And we should try to serve them all and get their blessings. Otherwise, what qualification do we have of every person in this world to be on the path of bhakti? Vrajanat, what is bhava arising from the mercy of a bhakta? So he described as the mercy of the devotee by his words, by his vision, by Krishna, by Krishna's words, by his vision, and by his grace manifest in the heart. He says, what is the bhava arising from the mercy of a bhakta? Babaji, Dhruva and Pallad obtained bhava for Bhagavan by Narada Muni's mercy. And bhava bhakti arose in the hearts of innumerable people by the mercy of Sri Rup, Sanatan, and other associates, Parshad of Krishna. Vraja, Vijay, what are the symptoms of the appearance of bhava? The following characteristics begin to manifest in the sadhaka when bhava appears. Now, these nine characteristics, they're very, very important because they're the symptoms of bhava. There are other symptoms of bhava which are called astika, satvika bhavs. They're hairs standing on head and tears and trembling. Being stunned and so many manifestations, involuntary manifestations of the heart churned by love manifest in the body. But the problem with that in terms of recognizing and identifying that, you know, these things can be imitated and many people do imitate them. They cry. You know, there's a story of this lady, she would come every day to hear this Muslim scholar. And the Muslim scholar would be chanting the Quran. And she would be just crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. You know, and crying and crying and crying. And every day she would come. And finally, the Muslim scholar became really curious. He said, you know, you come to my lectures every day and you seem to be enjoying it. What's inspiring you? Why are you crying? He said, because I had a goat that had a beard like you. I had a goat. So, you know, it looks like bhava, but what are the symptoms? So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that these are the symptoms that we should look for in bhava. And things that we can practically emulate in our life, even when we're not at bhava. Shanti, tolerance, vyartha kalatvam, concern that time should not be wasted. Virakti, detachment. Manya Shunyata, freedom from pride. Asha Bandha, bound by hope. Utkanta, deep longing. Nama Gane Sadaruchi, taste always chant Sri Harinam. Ashakti, Tad Guna Kyane, attraction for hearing about Sri Hari's transcendental qualities. And Tadvasati Stali Priti, affection for the pleasures of Krishna's pastimes. So now, it's a very nice section. I like this. He's going to go over them one by one. So Vijay says, what is shanti or tolerance? He said, shanti means that one remains peaceful even when there is cause for anger or mental agitation. Shanti may also be called shama, so someone who is advance, even when there's cause to be angry, he remains very peaceful and tolerant. Of course, a sadhu mindfully observing his emotions, even if he's very advanced, has the right to use them in Krishna's service, such as anger. But the anger is not guiding his actions. His intelligence is guiding his actions, and therefore he may use his anger. What is avyartha kalatva, concern that time not be wasted? Babaji, avyartha kalatva means that one does not let a moment pass in vain, and thus is incessantly chanting in Hari Bhajan. So we should always be chanting when we're not serving in any other way. Please explain the meaning of virakti, detachment. Virakti is disinterested in sense gratification. It's indifferent. It doesn't mean just to be aloof from it, because you can be aloof but be attached to it. It means you're actually indifferent to sense gratification. And Vijay asks a very interesting question. Can those who have taken Vaish, renounced order, Sannyas Vaish, or Babaji Vaish, assert that they are detached? So is that what you mean? Well, if this is a symptom of Baba, then a Sannyas has a symptom of Baba. But Babaji says Vaish. Vaish means the cloth that you take. So Sannyas takes Vaish. It means he takes a particular cloth. Babaji takes Vaish. They take a little short white lawn cloth. Sannyas takes a saffron lungi and an uttariya, his top thing. So it's called taking Vaish. Babaji, Vaish is a matter of social etiquette. When Baba appears within the heart, ruchi for the spiritual world becomes very strong, and taste for material world gradually diminishes. Finally, when Baba fully manifests, taste for the mundane world becomes practically nil, shunya pride. That is called detachment. So when you get the taste, when you get a taste for God, and that becomes overwhelming in your consciousness, and everything else looks so pale in comparison. So that's a symptom of Baba, because Baba is love and love is happiness. One is overwhelmed with the feelings of love for God. It's a transcendent, supra-sensuous, supra-egotistical feeling of flourishing in the heart, overwhelmed with love. And when a drop of that enters into the heart, then one loses taste for other things. A detached Vaishnava is one who has attained virakti and then takes Vaishnava Vaish to diminish his necessities. So in other words, the cloth or the renounced order is taken after one is detached. It's not taken to become detached. However, the Shastra do not sanction taking Vaish prior to the appearance of Baba. That is not real Vaish at all. Sri Mahaprabhu taught this lesson to the whole world when he punished Chotaharita. So the real Babaji Vaish, the real Sannyas, the real renunciation, should be taken after one has some devotional feelings. And Lord Chaitanya punished one of his associates who looked lustfully at a woman, even though he had taken the Vaish of the Sannyas. What is mana sunyata? Freedom from pride. Pride arises when one identifies with one's wealth, strength, beauty, high position, high caste, good family lineage. Manya sunyata means being free from pride in spite of possessing such material qualification. So when you're free from pride, it means despite the qualities you have that are accoutrements of power in this world and can help you control the world, your enjoyment. In spite of those things, you don't have pride. Padmarapana gives an excellent example of mana-sunyata. There was a wise emperor who ruled other prominent kings. However, when by good fortune Krishna Bhakti arose in his heart, he gave up his opulence and his pride in being the emperor and maintained his life by begging in the cities of his enemies. He offered respect to all, regardless of whether they were Brahmins or enemies. So when you see someone who has powerful qualities but is not proud of them, well, how can he not be proud? How is such that possible? Because he doesn't have false ego. The person doesn't have a desire to enjoy and control the world, and therefore the qualities that allow one to do so are not highly rated in him. When you want to control and enjoy the world, then the qualities you have that enable you to do that, you rate very highly, and you think, I have them. But that doesn't mean anything to someone who has bhava. That's not the qualification, power to control the world. The heart to serve Krishna, that's the real qualification. What is ashabandha, the bondage of hope? Ashabandha means to engage the mind in bhajan, bound by the unswerving faith that Krishna will certainly bestow his mercy upon me. So ashabandha means your hope. And you have hope because when you focus on Krishna, you realize that Krishna is infallible, and one of his infallibilities is his kindness. It has no bounds. And therefore, although you have no qualification, you practice with the desire that I can actually succeed. Okay, I'm going to stop here. Are there any questions? Because it's the morning here, and there's a lot to do, including I'm taking some groups out from, I met a great group yesterday from South Africa. These two very, very cultured brahmacharis. They have a preaching in I think, Cape Town, one college town. They're attracting such high-quality people. And they're very high-quality themselves. And so they came to my room, and, you know, I'm busier preaching in Vrindavan than I am in America, actually. Because in America, the programs are at night, but here it's all day long. And I joke with people that Vrindavan is the spiritual world because here no one works. No one here works. Everyone is just practicing Krishna consciousness and somehow being maintained one way or another. So there are classes and activities all day long. I give a class at 8 o'clock to 8:45, a kind of smaller class for just really people that are real close to me, where we discuss some deep philosophical subjects. I'm giving classes on Guru Tattva every morning. At 4 o'clock, I give class in the Bhagavatam. And then groups, 5 o'clock, a class came to see me. At 2:30, I go to read with Guna Grimarj on some days. Allegra, Lovejoy, we know her from the Bhakti Center. She was here, so I met her. I arranged for her to go to Govardhan with some of my disciples today. Murli Gopal is here today. He'll go out with me. And in a few days, Tamal Krishnamarj's brother and sister-in-law will come very close with me. So many classes, so many things to do. So right now, I'll probably in a few minutes, I'll do my deity worship. And then meet this group and go to a few places in Vrindavan. Then get back, and I generally spend an hour and a half preparing my Bhagavatam class because it's a new subject, Akrura Lila. I'll do that when I come in New York, and I'm reading all the commentaries of all the various acharyas, such beautiful points and things. And I have my writing also. I try to put out an article. So it's quite wonderful and busy. And then I'll be going to Mayapur, and I lecture every day in the evening for an hour and a half and meet so many people. Then I have my Puri Yatra festival, and then a group coming from Colombia. So Prabhupada said a good salesman can do more in one place than traveling. And I feel like that in New York. And that when I took sannyas, I didn't want to take sannyas if I have to leave Vrindavan. And I took sannyas from Satyut Maharaj, and I asked him, I don't want to leave Vrindavan. Sannyas is supposed to be traveling. He said, well, Prabhupada said, good salesman can get more money in one place than traveling around. So I wake up really early, so they have several hours for chanting and writing, etc. So I do get that in. Anyway, I'm marveled at the glory of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Anybody would like to say hello? It was so nice to hear Tiffany on the welcome so much for coming. That's great. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. This is Vajrade.
Hare Krishna, Vajrade. Hare Bol. I wasn't able to go to your house last time, but this time I'm going to make sure we'll put that a priority, do something there. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Peter in Alaska.
Who is it?
Peter in Alaska. President Sadevi.
Oh, in Alaska. Oh, yeah, Peter. Thank you.
Thank you
so much for coming on. Great. Thanks for coming on, Peter. Say hello to Sue Davy to me, please. Okay?
I will. Yep.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We'll end. I'll get on with my day. Everybody will get on with their morning or their evening. I'll get on with my morning. You'll get on with your evening. Hare Krishna.